For the past 3 weeks, we've been studying the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. We'll continue with that study next week. We're pausing today because today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is a feast day, a day of celebration, 50 days after Easter. Pentecost marks the continuing ministry of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So our New Testament reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 20. John 20, if you'd like to join in your own Bible or in a pew Bible. John 20, beginning with verse 19. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you poured out your Spirit upon the church at the first Pentecost. Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit now, that we might truly hear your word, that we might believe it, that we might be transformed by it, that we might live in its light. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. John 20, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, beginning with verse 16. Numbers 11, beginning with verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. And say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt." Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out at your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you've rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, "Why did we come out of Egypt?" But Moses said, "The people among whom I am number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, 'I will give them meat that they may eat a whole month,' shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them?" And the Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 2 years. 2 years. God's people had been free for 2 years. 2 years before our passage in the book of Numbers, God's people were slaves. God's people were in chains. They were suppressed. They were oppressed. They were subjugated in the land of Egypt under the heavy hand of Pharaoh. But the Lord saved them. The Lord redeemed them. God liberated them. The Lord miraculously brought his people out of slavery, out of Egypt, out from under Pharaoh with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And he was leading his people to the promised land, to their own land, to the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 2 years. They had been in the wilderness for 2 years. And the Lord had provided for them in the wilderness, taken care of them in the wilderness. He gave them water, miraculously gave them water from a rock. He gave them their daily bread, manna, miraculously providing bread from heaven. When they woke up every day, it was on the ground for them to gather up. God was present with them, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God led them, God guided them, God protected them for 2 years. And God's people started to complain. They started to grumble. They started to gripe, moan, and groan. And this time in our passage, it was about food. They were tired of manna. They were weary of eating bread from heaven every single day. What did they want? They wanted meat. They wanted some vegetables. They started remembering all the good things that they had eaten in Egypt. They started remembering Egypt, they had fish. In Egypt, they had melons. In Egypt, they had cucumbers. They had garlic. They had all kinds of things in Egypt. Now, they remembered the food, but they forgot their chains. 2 years. It had only been 2 years. And in those 2 years, they had witnessed, they saw with their own eyes, God miraculously save them. They saw with their own eyes, God miraculously provide for them time and time and time and time again. But they complained. After seeing all that, after experiencing all that, they still complained. And they complained because they forgot. They suffered from short-term memory loss. Now, it's easy to forget, isn't it? We get busy with life. We get busy with the day-to-day. We get busy in the details. We get trapped by our feelings. We get imprisoned by our troubles and trials. And we tend to forget the bigger picture. We forget the past. We forget that our life is a gift from the Lord. Every breath, every step, every day. Even if it's filled with pain, that day, that breath, that step is a gift from God. We forget that God has freed us, that through Jesus, he has freed us from sin. He's freed us from death. He's freed us from the evil one. We forget that we used to wear chains. We forget that he provides our daily bread. Every day, we have something to eat. And then some. We forget that following the Lord in the desert is way better than slavery in Egypt. And when we forget, it's easy to complain. When we forget, it's easy to grumble. It's easy to gripe. It's easy to moan. It's easy to groan. or weep. To moan and groan and gripe and complain that life, that our life is not how it used to be. That life, our life, is not how we want it to be. It's not how we desire it to be. It's not how we deserve it to be. Now, if you find yourself there, if you find yourself like the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness, complaining and grumbling and griping and moaning and groaning, maybe even weeping, remember God's word. Remember the gospel, that through Jesus Christ, you belong to the Lord. That through the crucified and resurrected Son, you are a son. You are a daughter of the living Lord. That you are part of the family of God. That he has redeemed you. If you find yourself like the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness, wandering and complaining and moaning and groaning, remember that God has provided for you. He has provided for you in the past. Remember those times in the past where God provided for your need or your family's need. Remember and trust. Trust in the Heavenly Father who loves you with a steadfast love. And remember, you are in his hands. You are his child. He has your best interest in mind. He will provide for you. 2 years. God's people complained. And they wept over their state of being. And it made Moses angry. Moses, who led the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses, he was frustrated. He was exasperated over the groaning and over the moaning. Moses was overwhelmed by his responsibility with God's people. And so Moses cried out to the Lord for help. He asked God for help with God's people, help with the complaining and the groaning and the moaning and the griping. And God heard. God hears Moses. And God answered. God tells Moses to take 70 men, to take 70 elders from the people. Elders were leaders of God's people. They were officers, usually older men with life experience who were faithful, upright, wise, and just. So the Lord appointed these 70 men to help Moses lead God's people, to share the burden of God's people, the responsibility over God's people. God appointed these 70 men to help Moses shepherd God's people. So Moses brought these elders to the tent of meeting, to the tabernacle, to the place where God was worshiped in the wilderness. And the elders sat all around the tent. And we read this in verse 25. I'm going to read it again. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, Moses, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. God took some of the spirit that was on Moses and he placed it on the elders. So what is this exactly? What does this mean? Well, God's Spirit was upon Moses. The Spirit of the Lord was within Moses. And the Spirit spoken of here is the Holy Spirit. This points to the truth of the Trinity, the truth revealed in the Scriptures that God is triune, that God is one, that there is only one God who exists as three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That God is one substance, one essence, one being, without division or separation, but three persons. three in communion and in union. Now, not persons like we are persons. You can't think of it in those terms. It's not as if they're individuals who are separate from one another, whose existence is autonomous, just as we are, and independent. But God is three persons in that each is distinct from one another, differ in their relationship with one another. The Father and the Son, the Father and the Spirit, the Son and the Spirit, each distinct, yet one God. The Father is God. Jesus is God. The Spirit is God, a holy Trinity. None of the three is more and none is less God than each of the other three. Each person of the Trinity is 100% God, and 100% of God is in each person of the Trinity. So we're told that the Spirit was upon Moses. The Holy Spirit was upon Moses. The Holy Spirit was within Moses. And God took some of that Spirit and placed it on the 70 elders. Like Moses, they were anointed to shepherd God's people. And as a manifestation of that Spirit's presence, those elders began to prophesy. They began to speak God's word. They began to speak God's truth. Now, we're also told that two other men remained in the camp, two elders who didn't go out, named Eldad and Medad. And we're told that the Spirit also came upon them, and they began to prophesy. And when that happened, Joshua, who was Moses' servant, Joshua, who would lead God's people after Moses, he asked Moses to stop them, to stop their prophesying. And perhaps he didn't want Moses to lose stature among God's people. But here's how Moses answers Joshua. This is in verse 29. Moses says, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Now, Moses' wish, Moses' desire was that all of God's people would have the Spirit, that God would place his Spirit on all of his people, within all of his people, not just him, not just the 70 elders, but everyone. And that is the significance of Pentecost. That is the import of Pentecost. That's the meaning of Pentecost. What Moses desired, what Moses wished, has come to pass. God has poured his Spirit out on all his people. And this is marked by Pentecost. It first happened at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50. So 50 days after Passover, Jews celebrated the Feast of Weeks. 50 days after Passover, Jews celebrated the festival marking the beginning of the harvest. It was a week-long celebration that would swell the population in Jerusalem. And on Pentecost, God poured his Spirit out upon his people. Jesus breathed the Spirit out on his disciples. Not just great leaders like Moses, not just elders, not just Israelites, but all of God's people. You and me. And you are part of God's people. You are part of the church when you place your faith in Jesus, when you claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that means when you do that, that means the Spirit rests upon you. That means that the Spirit dwells within you. And here's what I mean. You can only place your faith in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Without the Spirit, we're blind. We can't see our sin. We can't see our unrighteousness. We can't see our need for a Savior. Without the Spirit, our will is bound. It's not free. We can't choose Jesus. We can't claim Jesus. We won't. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, opens our eyes. The Holy Spirit enables us to see the light, to see Jesus, to see our sin. The Holy Spirit breaks the bond of our will and enables us to claim Jesus. Have faith in him. The Holy Spirit makes the work of Jesus, his redemption on the cross, his salvation for you. The Holy Spirit makes that real within your heart, makes it real within your soul, makes it real within your mind. And it is this Spirit, this abiding, dwelling Spirit, that continues to transform you and mold you and renew you and recreate you while we travel in this wilderness. While we walk in the desert, until our journey is over and we reach the promised land. This is what we celebrate on Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, 50 days after the celebration of the resurrection, after celebrating that God conquered death in Jesus, we celebrate the coming of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within you. Now, if you leave today with nothing else, realize this truth and remember this truth. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the living Lord, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who rested upon Moses and the 70 elders, the one who knitted you in your mother's womb, the one who took on flesh in Jesus, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, the one who saved you, the Holy Spirit is within you, upon you. The Lord Almighty loves you with an everlasting love. And this Lord, who has poured out his grace upon you in Jesus, abides in you. Now, you may not have prophesied like the elders in our passage. You may not have had tongues of fire rest on your head. But when you place your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of the living God is upon you. And that means this. Once again, God is with us. Once again, God is for us. God has come to us in the flesh, in person, in Jesus Christ, and God is with us by his Holy Spirit. God comes to us through his Spirit. That's Pentecost. That's the good news of Pentecost. What Moses longed to see, what Moses wished would happen, is here. In Christ, you're experiencing it. You're living it. So don't forget it. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your Spirit that you poured out upon Moses and upon 70 elders as the Israelites wandered. Thank you for your Spirit that you poured out upon your church on that first Pentecost. And thank you for your Spirit that dwells within us. Father, may your Spirit continue to abide in us, transform us, renew us, to make us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.